You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Be having a wonderful time with us, and alhamdulillah, I can tell you, really great in your company. Good, but even better when we move into our segment called Travel Express with none other than Ibrahim Abadacha, an astute businessman. He's also a humanitarian, a lot of civic work, and someone that walks the talk, and someone I embrace and celebrate for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim Ba, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful evening?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Shafat, our listeners to Radio Makkah Sahaba out there. Alhamdulillah, it seems to be raining outside and has sort of reduced the temperature somewhat, which is good. And I'm good, alhamdulillah, by the qudrat of Allah and your du'as as well. And looking forward to this program.
Really looking forward to that. And I see the charos, not the acharos, but the charos, the Indians are very chuffed. They say, we've got an Indian Prime Minister of the UK. Yeah. And Joe Biden called him Rashid Sunak. Yeah. I mean, that's it. It's doing, if you go into social media, you see, instead of calling him Rishi, they call him Rashid. So, here are the friends of the Zionist, the Zionist Brigade.
Absolutely.
Those that embrace and celebrate and love their Zionist masters are given tokens. Mm. Now they are presidents and prime ministers. And in the case of Biden, he is the president of the United States of America, past the pension age, and he's calling that guy Rashid. And then on the other hand, you get, it's not Kamala, it's Kamala. Kamala. Kamala Harris, who's the vice president of the United States of America, another big fan of the Zionists. And in case of Rishi says, I will recognize Jerusalem as the capital of the Masjid al-Aqsa. You know that area there?
Yeah, yeah.
So we know all what's going on, Ibrahim Ba. Perhaps your thoughts, and as you know, a beautiful anecdote, where Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, there'll come a time when the dregs of society will be in position of power. Seems as if it's torrential, the type of people that we see are coming into power, those that are, you know, aligned towards Hizbu Shaitan. Your thoughts, Ibrahim Ba?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is, as I mentioned the last time, when noble positions are given to unworthy people, then you must know the end is nigh. So that being the case, I mean, as for Joe Biden, he lost his marbles along the way some time ago. He's an absolute blithering idiot. You know, he can't even find his way on stage and things like that. So it is the hidden hand that puts these idiots in position so they can do their master's bidding. That's all it is. And you will see what will happen to so-called Rishi Sunak and all the others of their ilk going forward. But it's time, in the time of insan, in the time of man now, where all these characters are taking center stage and in positions of power, so to speak, because the ultimate power rests with Allah and nobody else. So let them do as they please right now, because we are waiting, and Allah is waiting as well, and He's seeing everything that's going on. And like it is said, that they plan and He plans, and Allah is the best of planners. So let them do as they please, because all these people, including all these Zionists and other evil, wicked, satanic people on this earth, they reckon without Allah, and that is their biggest, most serious downfall. That they think that they are the be-all and end-all of everything. They control the money, they control the political and other power, and they think they are invincible. Perish the thought. They'll come to know sooner rather than later. So, let them have their day in the sun. Unfortunately, there's going to be more suffering brought on to the people, the ordinary people like you and me on this earth, because of these idiots up there. And it's all culminating to an end. You can see how it's going, the war, the so-called conflict in Ukraine, and with all these appointments to positions of power in the UK and elsewhere. and of course the suicidal behavior of the German government, so to speak, in so far as I don't know what's going to happen to their people in this winter. I'm sure a lot of them are going to be very hungry and a lot of them are going to freeze to death, but the thing is, you think they care? They don't really care. So, interesting times indeed. And on our front over here, of course, we've got a whole lot of crooks and criminals and other charlatans from the Rogues Gallery that are still aspiring, despite you know, their track record that is really a disaster. People like, who was this, William Casey and things wanting to throw their hat in for re-election. What nonsense is this? But this, unfortunately, is the reality of the situation. Even Zuma's wanting to climb in on the bandwagon. So it's a question of wait and see. I think for us as believers, as Muslims, and people who practice their faith, I don't think we should fear. Because what will come to pass is only what Allah has written for us. And He watches over us, He protects us, He guides us. So ultimately, what will be, and we should not fear the future, because as we have whatever, if I might use the term, assets or even weapons to fight whatever comes at us on a daily basis in whatever challenge we face, so too will Allah make provisions for us in the future or the next generation or the generation after that to face whatever music is being played.
I do agree with you, Ibrahim Ba, and I truly, truly like your optimism. And the optimism is, if you have implicit faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there's only one thing. It's a win-win situation.
Yeah,
either. Yeah, it's a victory or either it's martyrdom. It's one of those two things. And, you know, it is guaranteed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your be-all and end-all. And Jazakallah khairah for those wise words, Ibrahim Ba. A lot of paranoia going around talking about the tourism in KZN. Someone says it's down by 80%, and some media houses are doing big stories, and maybe they don't live in the same province like us. You and I are like diehard Durbanites, right? But these guys are like doing, we are in the doom and gloom. It can't be that bad, Ibrahim Ba.
Look, perhaps there's a grain of truth in what they're saying. I was at some function or the other, and I was within earshot and just listening to people that were in the know, so to speak, you know. And they were castigating the guy who's in charge or the head of KZN Tourism, and making lots of valid comments that he doesn't even know what the hell is going on in his own province, hasn't even spoken to the people on the ground, and those responsible for really, you know, getting the donkey's work, so to speak, done. And it is no wonder then that whatever budget is there is being spent in all the wrong directions. And hence, the plummeting of the numbers insofar as them coming here. Yeah, we've got our own challenges here, Ba, but we've done a lot of Travel Express shows where we've highlighted the so many natural and other attractions that can lure any traveler, seasoned or otherwise, to our shores and to enjoy and participate in all that we have to offer in this province. But having said that, firstly, our municipalities are in a parlous state. The cities are a disaster, majority of them, Durban included, of course. And if you're putting somebody behind the wheel of a car who doesn't know how to operate it or doesn't know which direction is going, chances are that the worst thing that can happen is you either stand still or you'll go in reverse. And this is what is happening. So, yeah, we are losing ground to the other provinces. Cape Town, for one, is taking the lion's share of the tourist numbers that are coming to the country. And I don't see that trend reversing anytime soon, unless and until we get the right kind of people in this position that are so very important, because tourism is the only guaranteed industry, right, if run right, to keep on growing its share of the GDP, because it is what it is, and it has been proven, you know, over time, that tourism spends money like you can't imagine. For each one that comes and visits your shores, how much of money is it bringing in to spend? And all this is data, the data that can be tracked from surveys that are reliable and conducted, you know, ethically and, of course, regularly. And that is why they can tell you how many people are actually staying away or haven't come and how far we have fallen. And if the powers that be don't do something quickly to put somebody that knows what he's doing and somebody that's going to be efficient insofar as turning the circumstances around or the situation around, then we're on a hiding to nothing. And you can do as much as you please. You know, it's a question of giving a dog a bad name and hanging him. That's what it is here. Or don't go to KZN. The place is filthy. It's full of thugs over there. You get mugged. You get chances are hijacked and whatnot else. Not that this is not happening in the rest of the country. It is. And many, many different parts of the world. This is the reality we live in. But for some reason, it seems that KZN is taking the bun in everything.
Yeah, they say hot cross buns. I mean, the politics too of this country, it all starts in KZN. I mean, the Zuma factor, the Israeli Keys factor, the ANC, whether they'll survive or not. It's all KZN. It's got our power.
It's happening. It's happening.
It's happening. There's something about this province. It's a Zulu power. It's Zulu people. Ibrahim Ba, you know, also, when you look at, you know, you're talking about people illegal, this illegal papers. But I believe I was talking to a member of parliament this morning, and he told me that according to Fikile Imbalula, he has to clean up his department. There's some unscrupulous officials. So what is new? But they have given out, Ibrahim Ba, I believe, 95,000 illegal licenses out, number one. And on the other hand, 95,000 dead people are still driving.
Amazing. So,
I mean, only in South Africa, I think.
Yeah, there is that. Only in South Africa, because it's gone so crazy now, you know, it beggars belief.
Oh.
Crazy, really.
Crazy. I mean, we spoke about this. When an official stops you in the morning, you say, how, I want some breakfast.
Yes.
And when he stops you midday, you say, I want a juice.
Yeah, it's hot. It's hot.
And he stops you in the evening and says, I want supper. So anyway, it goes on. But Ibrahim Ba, the hot air balloon. We're not talking about hot air here. But if you know this balloon ride, this hot air balloons. I think every year in Turkey, they have this festival where all get into a hot air balloon and they move around and the certain directions they take. And here's a company, Ibrahim Ba. There's a company that offers a 3.6 million rand balloon ride to the edge of space. Now, who will take a trip like this, Ibrahim Ba?
No, don't you worry. There'll be no shortage of takers, my friend.
Wow.
At the end of the day, they are the overage, those that have everything, and those of us who have literally nothing. So those that are looking for new experiences and new kicks and new indulgences, you know, hedonistic ones at that, there'll be no shortage, trust me. I mean, if there wasn't that research or that perception that there's going to be a market for it, these guys wouldn't have invested in it. And this is a company from the U.S. It's called Halo Space. And they are now planning to give aspiring space tourists the ride of a lifetime. And basically, it's going to be offering a commercial flight on a circular capsule attached to an inflated balloon. Whether that's going to have lighter than air gas in it or whatever to take them up there and bring them down again, it's a question of how they do it, because they'll be going up to some 40 kilometers into the stratosphere just to give them a bird's eye view from the top there and see the curvature of the Earth, for instance, and they put the money and they'll do it. You know, it's nothing to them. I mean, to you and I, 3.6 million is pie in the sky. But to them, they've got lots more than that. So, yeah, they'll come down to Earth again and at the next party they want to show off. Oh, you know where I went? I went up there, and that sort of nonsense. But this is just child's play. Anyway, coming back to this, each capsule can carry 8 passengers and a pilot, and the company hopes to be able to transport around 3,000 passengers per year. That's how confident they are. And the tickets are going to be priced from anywhere from 98 grand to all the way up to $196,000. And the prototype capsule's first flight will take place in India, of all places, as you say. on December 22nd, and while a second test is scheduled for early 23, it will take off from Halo Space headquarters in Spain. And flights are slated to begin in 2025, following the completion of successful trials. And Halo Space proudly says that each flight will last between 4 and 6 hours, and they hope eventually to run as many as 400 trips a year from 2029 from bases on all four continents that they choose. Whether there's still going to be a world around there by then remains to be seen, but they've got big plans. And that's about the size of it, Brother Shafat.
Well, I can tell you, the name too is like Halo. An angel, got a halo around the head. And maybe sometime people need their heads read. I mean, here you have, you get a bird's eye view of the whole Earth. I mean, you got technology, you got these, you know. And then what do you want to go, you know, you're going to freeze, you have to put a special suit on.
Yeah.
What are you doing to your physiology? I mean, you look like you're spiritually bankrupt for you to even to take this.
Yeah, basically, it's a question of vanity. You know, that pride and vanity is what drives all this kind of thing, Brother Shafak. I mean, if you, like you said correctly, this technology, you go onto your computer, you can take care and see Google Earth and see any view you care to look at. So I guess it's just to, you know, cut another notch on the belt and say, been there and done that, sold a T-shirt and nonsense like that. That's what they live for. I mean, because they are so shallow that they need these ever newer experiences, you know, to show off about. I mean, to us, we get on with life and we believe that by drawing more closer to our Creator is the ultimate goal. And they see the material side of things and they want to be one up on everybody else. So, like I said earlier, let them be.
You know, Ibrahim Ba, when you get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and suddenly, you know, the love for this world, you know, it dissipates. Absolutely. And suddenly, you know, maybe when we are younger, we'll get the thing, hey, I mean, I wanted this, but he got it before me. Why didn't I get it? And so, but as you mature, you get to feel, you know what, hey, I had a millionaire uncle, he passed away. Look at what he left behind. Look at what his kids did and this and that. Then you know, sometimes you lift up your hands and you say, Allah, thank you very much for not letting me get involved in this dunya. And look at the answering that I would have had to do if I owned this flat and I owned that and I hold a whole fleet of, you know, taxes. Yeah. What would happen to me? The hisab kitab factor, you know, that we don't think of. But alhamdulillah, you know, really, when you mature, this world, this becomes a vehicle that, just a destination that we are going through, inshallah. And may Allah make it, you know, a journey that when we leave, that we go to our real home, that we get the treatment of, you know, a welcome from our Maker and our Maker alone. We'll be pleased with him and he'll be pleased with us, inshallah. Well, Ibrahim Ba, you're looking at, you know, I'll say it again for you, the Indian Ocean, the Indian Ocean everywhere. Hey, Sunak. Yeah, Rishi, listen to us about the Indian Ocean. Mauritius crowned the leading destination in the Indian Ocean. Hey, Mauritius is getting all the accolades, Ibrahim Ba. Plus, it's got one of the biggest American bases there, too. Yeah, that's what's all happening with the Indian Ocean.
Talk
to us, Ibrahim Ba.
Yeah, unsurprisingly, Mauritius scooped three very prestigious destination awards. And this is something from the World Travel Awards that is run annually. And this was specifically for the Indian Ocean region in which, of course, that island is found. And it makes the tropical destination, island paradise, as they care to call it. I wouldn't call it paradise. Maybe it's nice, but nobody knows what paradise holds. But, leading destination in the following categories. Leading adventure tourism, leading for weddings and functions like that, and, of course, leading sustainable tourism destination in the Indian Ocean. And like I said, these WTA awards are considered very prestigious and good to have. You know, it enhances your stature in the industry insofar as the appeal of the destination goes and the popularity thereof in the global tourism industry. And winners are chosen in each category and voted for as the best in their travel, tourism, or respective hospitality sort of category.
Well, I hope we haven't lost the Ibrahim Ba there, Ibrahim Ba.
Because,
you know, talking about Mauritius, and as you said, the winners are chosen. Ibrahim Ba, are you back?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
A load shedding there. But yeah, Mauritius are being chosen again as a tourist destination, a popular destination indeed. So I wonder how many of y'all have been to Mauritius. And yes, Ibrahim Ba, are we trying? Okay, Lucalo is trying very hard to get Ibrahim Ba back on line, but hopefully it's just a temporary glitch.
Yes, Ba,
you can hear me.
I heard every word you said. I don't know what happened on my side.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you. But yeah,
anyway,
perhaps
back together. Yeah, so let's get on with the business.
Go ahead about Mauritius. You're talking, Ibrahim. Yeah, go ahead.
And this function took place of all places in the Kenyatta International Convention Center in Nairobi. In maybe a couple of weeks back. And by the way, incidentally, Air Mauritius, the national carrier, also won some awards in leading brand, leading airline brand, and leading airline in economy class in the airline sector. And not to get left out anyway is Zanzibar, of course, and it was named Africa's leading beach destination. And of course, everyone knows where Zanzibar is, and that won the prize at the same WTA function, and it beat out other good destinations like Cape Town, South Africa itself, Kenya and Morocco on the Indian continent. And of course, this island of Zanzibar is growing in popularity because of, you know, its idyllic beaches. Really, they are something else. You know, if you think Mauritius got good beaches, go and look at the water over there. You'll fall in love with it every time. And lots and lots of tourists are going there. And recently, our own Fly Safair announced that that has been added on to their list of destinations. So well done to Zanzibar as well. And let's hope they grow from strength to strength, because Zanzibar, as you know, is predominantly Muslim. And most of them are quite poor, many of them below the subsistence or the breadline. But yeah, I guess this will all go well for them going forward. Only thing I fear in the long term is the influence of the West, you know, that and how it's going to impact negatively on the rank and file of Zanzibari people that are so poor and maybe work in that industry. And, you know, before long, you'll find it's alluring, and especially to the younger set. So they must protect themselves against all the inroads being made with the, you know, the consumption of alcohol and, you know, do as you please, anything goes sort of, you know, attitude. So that's my only fear. But from a attraction point of view, yeah, good luck to them, and I hope they do the best they can.
Zanzibar, and you remember, you used to say those people come from Zanzibar. And, you know, they used to call them Zanzibaris.
Baris, yeah.
Were they really from Zanzibar? Even our Malawians, I think we should call them Zanzibaris at that time.
I think generally, you know, if you're of that race and things like that, people just tend to, you know, stick a label or tag on you and say, okay, fine, you are from there. Not necessarily that you are from there, but if you're of African sort of extraction, then steady, they just want to label you as such. I know there is a community in the Bluff, you know, going up Bluff Road. That was there is still a masjid over there, and I've been there once or twice, and quite nice people, actually.
Yeah, I remember that. Actually, they used to use that Bluff Masjid. I think, you know, a good friend of mine, the Maulana Dawood Fikra, gives a bayan quite often there. And, you know, they initially they used to bury most of the sailors at the riverside. And also at the Bluff, quite a few sailors are buried there also. So it has its own history, a very rich history, still run by the Jumma Masjid Trust, Ibrahim.
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Yeah, the big story. But anyway, we're not getting to a punch out matter. We move on. Finally, our final story, the supersonic air travel could soon be a reality. Supersonic? Who wants to go in a supersonic jet? Was the Concorde a supersonic one too?
Yeah, it was. It was certainly. And the first one in the passenger sort of business.
Mm.
But yeah, now Washington is blowing its horn again. NASA aeronautical engineers and innovators are poised to break the sound barrier again. But this time in a different way to what was done originally by the X-1. That was an aircraft. Pilots who first flew supersonic on October 14, 1947. That was some 75 years ago over the California desert, just for the record. And they've come out with this aircraft of theirs called the X-59. And the mission they've named Quest, Q-U-E-S-S-T, right, to enable commercial supersonic travel over land. What they're doing basically is they're trying to muffle that sonic boom, you know, that can shatter windows and make all sorts of uncomfortable noises over land. And that is why they banned supersonic flight over land in 1973. However, tests are being conducted as we speak in several communities to survey how people react to the quieter sonic, which is now called a thump as opposed to a boom that it produces, and whether they would hear anything at all. And based on the survey and the responses received, they're going to submit that to regulators for reconsideration or rewriting new rules to lift that ban. And should that happen, and chances are it might, then it'll be another milestone in airline industry per se, where looking from a U.S. perspective, it'll open up a new era in air travel, and passengers can hop onto a supersonic jet at breakfast time in L.A. on the West Coast and make lunch reservations in New York City on the East Coast. And that's by normal flying, it will normally take you like about 5 or 6 hours, right, nonstop, I'm saying currently. So it just goes to show what advances are being made in that sector. So if it works, yeah, it will be good for people because time is getting ever shorter and people need, not to be sitting like currently. Let's say you fly from here to Dubai. That's like 7-8 hours of your life gone just sitting there. So if they can reduce that and make people get to and from more quicker and give them more time to be more productive, then why not?
Probably, Brian. So, we go to 7 to 8 hours to go to Dubai. With this supersonic, how quickly, Ibrahim Ba? 2.5 hours?
I'd say even less, eh? I'd say even less.
Wow. That would be something, yeah. You know, we like to do a lot of walking, you and I. Hey, yeah. I don't like sitting. We are the walkers. Ibrahim Ba, look at the time.
Yeah,
look at the time. We've gone to 28 minutes. Your parting words this evening?
Yeah, certainly. And this is for everyone out there as well, and of course for myself as well. Who you think you are each day completely determines the universe you live in. So think about that. Again, it's your thoughts that come into play. And again, if you are hooked up to the divine creator, then you're living in a subliminal world. And, nobody can touch that. So, I wish everyone well and pray that they are protected and blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that everything goes well for them, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Ibrahim Ba. As usual, very informative indeed. You have a blessed evening ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, I'd like to thank Alucalo for great engineering this evening. And people, keep it locked on to Markaz Sahaba for beautiful programming. And from the team and I, till we meet you again, we bid you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.